Well, you often see in big stories of how a politician who may be at the heart of it comes into a situation and talks to the press and meets other elected representatives and has a discussion with society about what's going on politically. Didn't happen yesterday. The Brexit Secretary, the very Brexit Secretary, David Davis, came to Northern Ireland. 2 hours in, 2 hours back out again. Didn't speak to any politicians publicly, didn't make himself accountable to any members of the press. What's that all about? And how do you react to it? Some might say he made the effort to come. The first time he's been here as the Brexit Secretary, made the effort to come, made the effort to look around. Others might say, was he afraid of questions? Does he care enough about Northern Ireland and the impact on the border? By the way, what is the impact on the border? The businessman and former Northern Ireland Conservative Erwin Armstrong with us this morning. What do you read into this very, very swift visit, Erwin?
Firstly, Stephen, I'm not a former Conservative. I'm still a Conservative.
My fault.
Yes, though I don't take an active part at the moment. Visits to Northern Ireland by any member of the Cabinet are always welcome. Personally, I think standing at the border, looking at a bridge or looking at a line in the road is an entirely pointless exercise, which the EU and other people seem to take great pleasure in. I just don't understand the function. Going to meet a business, and I think it was an autism centre, are good things to do. Why he didn't want publicity, I don't know. Maybe security.
Well, no. It's clear that he wanted publicity because we can see the photo shots now of him standing looking at this bridge. Indeed, Erwin, some people looking at newspapers, watching those photographs, might have thought that he came and actually made himself accountable and took questions from the press and spoke to politicians on both sides of this debate. They might actually think about that looking at the photo ops.
Yeah, all we have.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah, all we have is a few photographs. We don't have the normal media cameras, BBC, everybody that would have been there had they been invited. It's a few pictures. To me, I just didn't see the point. I welcome him visiting a good Northern Ireland manufacturing company who can talk to him, and Linwoods are a great exporter from Northern Ireland. So I think that's something that we should all welcome. He obviously meets all of the Northern Ireland MPs who turn up in Westminster on a regular basis. He will be well informed by the Secretary of State of what's going on here. So it's very much a symbolic visit. It's not actually, in my opinion, meant to actually add anything to his understanding of the situation. I think the proposals that he and his colleagues put forward are something which I've been advocating for the last couple of years as being sensible. If the EU wish to reject them, they need to start building their border defences very shortly. I can't see why they cannot look at things which are put forward in a reasonable, rational basis.
But it's the situation, how Brexit impacts Northern Ireland, yep, whether it is for the better or worse, is it not such an important issue for us in Northern Ireland that David Davis maybe should have spent more time here, plugged into the local community more? Optics are everything. Making sure that he took questions from journalists who are trying to hold him accountable and ask important questions on behalf of the community here. Huge issue to Northern Ireland. It is a fundamentally critical issue for the economy of Northern Ireland that we get this right. And he is the United Kingdom's Brexit Secretary. And the last time I looked, Northern Ireland was part of the UK.
That is the very point, Stephen. He holds regular press conferences. And Northern Ireland, as you know, regularly comes up in all of those press conferences. So he's not hiding from the press in that sense. Every time he goes to the EU, there's another press conference. It's obvious the EU and the UK are deeply involved in a negotiation.
Erwin.
Yep.
You could argue you spend longer in Tesco's if you go for your shop than David Davis did in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but Northern Ireland, as you said, is part of the United Kingdom. The UK government has made it plain that they do not want a different solution for Northern Ireland. So the solution has to be one that suits all of the United Kingdom, including Northern Ireland.
Let's speak to the former SDLP leader, Mark Durkin. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning to you.
Morning, Mark.
Well, I guess at least he went to the border. Last time Theresa May was here, she went to Bangor.
Well, that's exactly why he went. There's been long criticism that David Davis hasn't been near the border. That criticism was amplified whenever Theresa May did her pop-up visit in Bangor. And, of course, Michel Barnier is going to be in Dundalk next week, so we'll again be at the border. And Michel Barnier has already made several visits at the border. So this was all done just to eliminate an obvious point of criticism. And, of course, it was done so that there was no actual engagement. It's just, yes, he would have the photo in his album to show, yes, I've been to the border. But he didn't want any engagement. He didn't want to answer any
Well, that's not true, because he visited the food processing company Linwood's in Armagh. He visited an autism centre in Middletown, former customs post in the same village. You could call that engagement. He was with the chief executive of Corporation Ireland, Peter Sheridan. That's engagement.
No serious engagement where he would answer questions from media, where there would be engagement by politicians or anybody else who would pose any question or would make any point to him. That's what he was doing. This was done purely to answer a point of criticism that is there. It was an empty exercise to remove an obvious point of criticism. The fact is, David Davis is someone who has just done this just to answer what has been an obvious point of criticism. He had nothing new to tell anybody. He had nothing new to say. Has he anything to say about how they are answering any of the questions, any of the issues that are there? Going back to the December joint report to show that he has moved that forward in any way. And that's really what has to be done. It's not whether or not he has been at the border. It's whether or not he has answers to the issues that are there. Has he moved us forward in terms of the joint report? Has he moved us forward in terms of the backstop or the other options that are to be there? There was no sign of it. There was no indication of it. Did he tell us any news? Did he announce anything yesterday? Did he tell anybody anything yesterday? Who has he told anything to you about yesterday? No, that's why there was no engagement. It was an entirely empty exercise.
Let's see how we're reacting at home about this already this morning. Michael. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Mr. Noel.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I'm just thinking about Mr. Davis' visit to Northern Ireland. You know what I mean? It shows you where we are in the pecking order of the United Kingdom. Do you see if Britain could get rid of us tomorrow, we would be gone. And it's as simple as that. You know, he came in, he'd done a couple of photo shoots, this, that and the other. And to be honest, I don't think that he knows what he's doing. I don't think Theresa May knows what she's doing. This Brexit thing is up in the air.
Well, at least he came, Michael.
Yeah, sure. A half an hour would take me down the road to Dundalk, sure. And what? He came and what? What did he do? What did he say? What confidence did he give the Brexiteers? As far as I'm concerned, none. None. The Conservative government have that much on their plate. They don't know what day of the week it is. Between the Windrush people, between this, that and the other, the Home Secretary, she doesn't know what day of the week it is.
Amber Rudd.
Amber Rudd is correct. But let me tell you something, Stephen. It doesn't really matter. There's change on the way here in Great Britain, or whatever you want to call it, or the six counties, or the north of Ireland, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to stay the same. They went into Brexit. Come on, we'll do Brexit. But nobody knows what they're doing. They haven't a Scooby-Doo.
Michael, thank you. The Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Mike Nesbitt, with us today. So, Mike, morning to you.
Morning.
What are we to read into this? A flying two-hour visit. Maybe he was in a hurry. This is very important. Brexit is incredibly important to Northern Ireland. We're wondering whether our economy will prosper or not. We're wondering how the border issue is going to be solved. Not a peep from David Davis when he comes.
Yeah, and the reason I think we are speculating about yesterday's visit is because there wasn't a peep out of David Davis. It was unusual, I think, to the point of bizarre. For example, it is protocol to alert the local Member of Parliament. Was the MP told that the Brexit secretary was visiting his constituency? If you were in the DUP, would you not want to know, given you've got that confidence and supply arrangement going with the Conservative Party, with the government of the United Kingdom? Indeed, would you not want to be photographed with the Brexit secretary, showing him around the border, looking like you've got some sort of control over what's going on in terms of the build-up to Brexit? And the fact that he didn't speak to the media, that he didn't speak to business people in a sort of business forum for half an hour or whatever, nor did he speak to any residents who commute across the border on a daily basis, suggests, and it is a suggestion, again, we're speculating because he has made it impossible not to speculate by not giving us the reasons why he was there. The speculation has to be he has no answers. Nearly 2 years on for the referendum, we're still in this period of huge uncertainty, and uncertainty is bad for business, it's bad for the economy, and it's bad for politics.
We don't know, by the way, whether the DUP themselves knew that their partners in government were coming, but we're putting in a question
Nigel
right now and ask, yeah, and we will ask.
I think
ask.
Nigel Dodds was on the radio earlier, excuse me, and he said he didn't know. And he's the leader of the DUP in terms of Westminster, the Westminster group, the MPs.
Well, what... Hark, if the Tories are the DUP's partners in government and the Brexit secretary is coming to Northern Ireland, is it not incredibly bizarre that Nigel Dodds doesn't know? What on earth is going on?
I'm not going to say there's a protocol for this because it is most unusual for a government to be reliant on Northern Ireland MPs, although it has happened in the past, in the 70s with the Ulster Unionists. But it is certainly a protocol, as I understand it, that you would alert the local MP, and I think given the circumstances of the confidence and supply arrangement, then by extension you would logically alert the DUP. But maybe they couldn't have a DUP MP like Nigel Dodds showing David Davies around the border area, because you would also have had to have the local MP, and the local MP is a member of Sinn Féin, and therefore there may have been perceived political difficulties.
Well, we're asking the DUP right now if they knew that their partners were coming to Northern Ireland, more so that the Brexit secretary was coming to Northern Ireland. Stephen Farry, also with us this morning, obviously from the Alliance Party. Is this normal business, Stephen? And has Northern Ireland been given the respect it should have been?
Well, obviously Northern Ireland, Stephen, is a major blockage issue in terms of the Brexit withdrawal negotiations. So I think a little more than 2 hours, almost 2 years into the process, would have been appropriate from the Cabinet Secretary with responsibility for the negotiations. And of course, he's visiting at an extremely sensitive time, in that it is clear from a whole range of experts throughout the European Union and also domestically that either Northern Ireland or indeed the whole UK does need to be in a customs union with Europe if we are to avoid a hard border. The government are clear that they want to avoid a hard border, but they're refusing to join the dots and actually accept the inevitability of what's required to achieve that.
Yeah, but Stephen, what we're talking about is David Davis this morning, aren't we? And whether we got what we needed from him yesterday. What was the point of him coming? What was he looking at? Was he looking at a fence? What was he looking at? What was he learning about? What did he learn? What's his message to the people of Northern Ireland?
Well, I think the issue about the message is the clear gap in all of this. I mean, we've had visits from the Prime Minister. I mean, again, she's passed up the opportunity to visit the border. There's a whole range of voices and campaign groups such as Border Communities Against Brexit and a host of other people who are immediately affected by a border. And their voices weren't really taken into account yesterday. It was a very managed visit. And I would be sceptical whether he learnt a lot in terms of people's views. he would have seen some of the geography of the border. It is incredibly complex, and hopefully that does resonate with him. But what we need here is answers from the UK government. They have a very clear challenge from the European Union to show how they can actually live up to their commitment to avoid a hard border.
I'll tell you what, we might get answers from Peter Sheridan, because Peter Sheridan was with the Brexit Secretary yesterday, and he's with us this morning, CEO of Corporation Ireland. Morning to you, Peter.
Good morning.
Did he seem in a hurry?
I didn't get a sense he was in a hurry. It was a visit that I think he was in the night before and left that afternoon. I didn't.
Was he in disguise?
The border with him. Pardon?
Was he in disguise?
No, he wasn't in disguise. No.
Can you work out why he wouldn't want to talk to any other politicians or indeed any media about Brexit?
I can only speculate, the same as everybody else is speculating, because it wasn't a conversation that I had with him. I simply took him round and tried to give him a sense of the terrain and the complexity of the border and you know, the issues that affect most local people in that community. And so I took him as best as I could around to give him a sense of that. I do think he was trying to listen and learn in it when I took him around.
And what did he express any learning, Peter? Did he express any opinion on anything?
No, it was like me giving him as much information as I possibly could about the area down there. So explaining about Linwood's, the fact that they source their products both north and south of the border, the workforce is north and south of the border, they are 5 miles or slightly more to the border, and they're continually crossing back and forth. The fact that the Autism Centre is funded by both Departments of Education, North and South. It's used by people both sides of the border. Showed him where the military base used to be in the middle of the village and the police station, and that they are now owns a housing development, others a greenfield site. And then the rambling nature of the border, particularly down in that area where just outside Middletown Village, the border comes right up to the road, but then almost immediately goes about 10 fields back and then comes back into the road again and back out. And then I took him down two miles outside of Middletown Village to where the old customs post, or the British customs post on one side and the Irish customs on the other, and you know, explained to him the impact of all of that in the past on communities who live there and people who move back and forth across the border.
And when you were talking to him, Peter, about... And thanks for coming on this morning, by the way. When you were talking to him about the complexity of the likes of Linwood's and Armagh using employees both sides of the border, what did he say? What did he think the impact of Brexit would then be?
Well, I think what you're asking, Stephen, and is, you know, did he say to me what the resolution would that of that would be, or what the impact is likely to be post Brexit? The answer to that is no. He didn't, you know, I didn't have any conversation. He didn't give me any information about, well, this is what we're going to do about X, or this is what's likely to happen around Y. It was generally was about trying to find out as much information. And I think he probably hadn't realised particularly the meandering nature of the border in this place. I did say that there are 3,750 kilometres of border to the east of Europe, in which there are 135 crossings. There are 500 kilometres of border here, in which there are 265 crossings, and that doesn't include smugglers' pads and gates between fields and simply hopping over a fence. So it is a complex border, and I think it's only when you come...
And how did you get the impression, Peter? Did he tell you that he didn't realise the meandering nature of the border?
Not just in that general conversation, the complexity of it. I mean, I said to somebody who knows border particularly well, it was still even difficult for me to pin, you know, which field the border crossed at. It's almost that type of border that unless you're the local farmer who lives in that and owns that field, that you know where the border actually is. It isn't a straight line border, which, you know, will make things difficult if people were thinking of cameras, etc. It's not something that will be easily resolved by cameras along the border.
We're just learning this morning the DUP are saying there was no pre-planning or coordination with the DUP. The DUP also saying that they didn't know. So the DUP did not know that the Brexit secretary was coming to Northern Ireland. The protocols, by the way, is normally, Mike Nesbitt, that the department would contact the local MP. That would be Sinn Féin's Mickey Brady.
Yes.
They didn't tell him either.
No, well, that's just wrong, because, as you say, that is the protocol. And indeed, even when we had an executive, if an executive minister was coming into Strangford, the protocol was that department would send out an email around the MLAs for the area just to make them aware. So, absolutely, if the Brexit secretary is coming to the Newry and Armagh constituency, the Member of Parliament for Newry and Armagh should be alerted. And indeed, it would be normal for that MP to be there and act to a certain extent as the host for that cabinet member. So why did it not happen? Well, again, we have to speculate. And the reason we're speculating is that David Davies came in, refused to meet the media, did what he had to do, which effectively looks like ticking a box which prevents you from ever accusing him of never having been to the border, and moved on.
Well, I think another question for the DUP might be, what are they going to say to David Davis? Are they happy that he came and they didn't know? Are they happy that he came and he didn't make any announcements, didn't say anything to the media, didn't meet any politicians, didn't tell the local MP? It would be interesting to find out. Erwin Armstrong, yes. Do you think we've been treated with respect here, this country?
Yeah, well, I would have to agree that the visit is somewhat bizarre. I don't understand. I don't know who else he met that we don't know about in private. I have no insight into that whatsoever. But he came, he went to a border, which I think is a very pointless exercise, to be honest. You know, I can't see the logic. Well, I welcome him going to a factory, I welcome him going to an autism centre.
Well, you said it was pointless, Erwin, but to be fair, Peter Sheridan sharing with us this morning that the Brexit secretary didn't realise the nature of the border.
Well, I think you don't have to go to the border to be aware of the border, how it works. Whether it's a river or whether it's a bridge or whether it's a field, you know, it's I think 300 miles or 250 miles or something long, and it's comprised the same as every other border of hedges and roads and, you know, things that would be the same as the border between France and Germany or anywhere else.
Let me bring in Brian in Andersonstown. 0303 80 55 55. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I remember, I think before Christmas, there was a delegation came from Europe, and the media response to that there was unbelievable on the border. They spent a good part of the day meeting people and making statements and so forth. A bit late in the day for Mr. Davison to come over now. He should have been here before that delegation arrived here, before Christmas. And he comes now, complete contempt for the people of Northern Ireland. And also, I did note, I was listening on the phone, that the DUP said they didn't know.
Didn't know he was coming.
Now, sure, but do they not have their head office in England now? I mean, and they didn't know because...
Well, no, they don't have their head
office in England. Well, I'm only being sarcastic because they're more...
You're talking about the power of the Westminster DUP MPs.
No, I'm talking about you see them on TV, they seem to be always in England, not here. Now, they don't always be in England, so I've seen them on TV here on your programme.
They're not on my programme,
well,
the DUP, let me tell you.
When they were, Stephen. But if my point being is, a bit late in the day, treating the people here of Northern Ireland with utter contempt when he arrives, all hush-hush, you know.
What's he afraid of?
Stephen...
Or was it not that? It was just he was in a hurry.
Stephen, but...
Maybe he had the cinema that night, or I don't know.
The people are waking up here now, because if you go back to... There was a big meeting in Europe. They arrived, he arrived with 2 hours, people with 3 bits of paper, and the delegation from Europe arrived with blocks.
Well, Brad, you're saying it's really important, this, and stay there, because John in Ballygawley totally disagrees with you. In fact, he thinks that we're blowing this, the BBC's blowing this out of proportion.
So massively.
Have a listen, Brad, to John, and you two can talk to each other. Morning, John.
Morning, how are we doing? I think that, to be honest, yes, he probably should have made more people aware, but at the end of the day, he's a Brexit secretary. He has the whole of the United Kingdom to do bits of work in. Coming over to Northern Ireland, it's only a hop, skip, and across the water, an hour's plane ride from London. He's come over, he's spoken to a few people.
Doesn't tell his partners in government, the DUP.
Do you think that's slightly bizarre?
No, not really.
He doesn't have to make everyone aware, including the DUP, as much as they are. Yes, they're propping up the Tory government. He doesn't have to make them aware of when he's going to Northern Ireland, when he's going for lunch, when he's going to the toilet. He's the Brexit secretary. He is above the DUP. If he wants to come over to Northern Ireland, speak to a few people, possibly not answer
Not follow
questions.
Protocol, not tell well, the local
oh,
MP.
On, say follow protocol. Sinn Féin do not sit in Parliament in the British government, but even though they're registered as a British parliamentary party. But they reject the British government.
Go on, Brad.
Even though they...
A load of nonsense. When an MP goes from Manchester to Liverpool, he lets the Lord Mayor know, he lets the representatives know they're coming.
No, and I agree with that. But then again, there is two different identities within this country. Therefore, would Sinn Féin, I'm probably certain Sinn Féin probably now, in hindsight, would say, of course we would have met him. But would they? We have to say yes or no. It could be either. Did he need to make people aware? He came over, possibly had a list of jobs to do and went boom, 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 job done, right? I can now put that.
It was a waste of time coming over then.
Yesterday, what the British government put forward to Europe, as in points to do with the Northern Ireland and the Irish border, Europe went no on all those points. You don't really see Europe coming up with any points on the border. I know that's a different topic, but he's come over and gone, okay, right, maybe we need to rethink things.
Why do you think, John, the photographs were released of him standing at the border?
Well, to do with looking at things, a small media shoot, yes. Does he need to answer questions? No, he went then.
But why
on
do you
to,
think?
You
why
say,
do you think the photographs were released?
Just to show that he actually is here, because
to show he was here.
Well, yes, because the BBC within Northern Ireland and UTV and every other news broadcaster says that Northern Ireland isn't represented. Well, Northern Ireland isn't represented due to politicians and not wanting to work together.
The photo shoot was released to show he was here, but behind the photograph, of course, the photo doesn't tell you that protocols weren't followed, that the DUP weren't told, that no elected official was told, that no questions were taken, that no public announcements were made to the community, that no reassurance was given by the Brexit secretary. Does this not all feel a little bit strange?
Yes.
Why does anyone need to know? Even though I disagree with Sinn Féin not sitting in Parliament, they have their reasons, that's fine. And yes, in hindsight, I would probably say, out of politeness, which the Tories are usually good at, the Tories should have gone, look, we're coming to visit. Will you host us? If Sinn Féin say no, well, then that's
okay.
One up to the Conservatives.
Brian.
Stephen, he should have done. That's the way that people think. He shouldn't have bothered coming over, wasting the money on a flight. He should have went into the nearest filling station, bought a map, and sat in his office and looked at the map, and then made a statement. And stayed in England because it was a complete waste of time, and it was utter.
I agree. He's gone certain points over here that are obviously considered parts of the border. Obviously, he went, as you said, to Milltown, and then came to Armagh and then visited Lindon Foods to speak to certain people. He obviously had certain points that he was coming over here to do. I don't see why. Yes, you know, possibly he could have answered some questions. But we all know that the questions that would have been asked, he possibly wouldn't have had answers for. So why, therefore, make himself look...
He was afraid to take the questions.
I disagree.
He was afraid to take the questions.
Why does he have to take the questions? Why?
It's so important thing about Brexit, about Northern Ireland, and he won't take questions.
Okay, let's just say, though. So let's say in the next couple of days, he says, I went over to Northern Ireland, I did this, this, and this, which has now led to this. There's the questions all answered. We don't know what he came over for.
Led to what?
We know a few points.
Here's what else we know. Sinn Féin found out. Mickey Brady from Sinn Féin, the MP for the area, found out about David Davis' Brexit, David Davis' visit via Twitter. And the ministerial code says he should have been informed in advance.
I completely disagree with that. That should not have happened. But then again, Sinn Féin don't take their seats in Westminster. Therefore, yes, they are the representative MP in certain words, even though they don't represent their people within their area.
Doesn't mean all the Sinn Féin electorate should be ignored, does it?
I totally agree. I totally agree with you there. I do agree with you there.